Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 17th of August, recording at 9:06 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today, and they were characterized by heavy selling in some of the asset classes. That included Asian stock markets. The China Shanghai Composite Index was down about 5% today, and the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index was down some 3.62%. All the Asian stock markets were lower, I believe. We also saw across the board selling in the European indices, and declines on the order of 2% plus, although I see that the UK FTSE index is only down 1.46%. Now, Wall Street spent most of the day in the minus column, closed down 2% on the Dow, 2.43% on the S&P, and a bit more on the NASDAQ Composite Index. Brazil is down 2.5%, and the other resources indices shown here, Toronto, the Canada, I should say, and Mexico, they were down nearly 3%, or actually they're still trading, but down nearly 3%. Now, elsewhere, the U.S. dollar was firmer here today, up some 400 points ticks on the U.S. dollar index, takes it back up to 79.28, and the euro slipped back to 1.4079. The dollar was stronger than all the other currencies that I've seen except for the yen, and the dollar slipped to 94.46 against the yen. Precious metals were clobbered in here today, particularly silver and platinum. Silver is back just under the $14 level. And gold bullion is down 15 to 933.5. Platinum fell back to, it's currently at 1223. Industrial metals were also weaker, copper down nearly 8 cents, and all the commodities actually were weaker, I believe. And yes, that does seem to be the case. Crude oil closed well off its lows, however. NYMEX crude had dipped down to 65.23 before settling or trading after hours. Now it's 66.69. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, people are clearly taking some money off the table, to use that adage, as far as stock markets are concerned and commodity prices. Overall, we have an environment where just about everything continues to take its cue from Wall Street. Now, we know that the Wall Street leash effect is powerful. We know that it's by far the most influential market in the world, but the lockstep performance with which so many markets are queuing off Wall Street, particularly commodities, but of course also bonds moving in the opposite direction. And I didn't mention that in my review. Long dated government bonds were all stronger here today. That's the only green that shows on my screen, and that's of course the long dated government bond futures. So we're in an environment where Wall Street strengthens and commodities rally, and the dollar tends to weaken, and bond prices tend to drift lower. However, when Wall Street weakens, then we get commodities weakening, including precious metals, and we get the dollar firming, and we get bond prices rallying. Now, and the yen is moving like the dollar, only with a higher beta. So this is remarkable. It's gone on for a number of months. It's certainly not going to go on in perpetuity because there's no reason for it, but that's the way traders and investors are reacting, and those of us in the markets have to live with it while this continues. Now, overall, standing back from the day-to-day gyrations here a little bit, overall, we see several important things. Let me talk about the China leash effect. China, as of today's sharp sell-off of about 5%, is in its third week, or has commenced its third week of this decline, back towards the rising 200-day moving average. The Chinese composite index is, I think it's 2,800 something. It's about 500 points above that moving average. It did accelerate today, and this has been a reaction that was not hard to see coming, as it signaled it all the way, as you may recall. And the fact that it is now accelerating downwards suggests to us that China's correction is moving into its has entered its latter stages. And we should watch that because it has tended to be a leader in both directions, and I suspect it will lead on the upside once again. Now, we'll need to see either a loss of downward momentum and some ranging in a support building effort by China, or some sort of clear upward dynamic to check the decline. And we have to wait for that. What has contributed to this sharp decline in China quite recently? Well, supply has increased, and there was a lot of talk about whether the government would tighten monetary policy somewhat to prevent property prices from overheating. And my own view is that it's mostly down to the fact that China's advance steepened at an unsustainable rate. And then we did have some big private offerings, and that just spilled over into a corrective phase, which I think is creating another buying opportunity. Now, how quickly one moves on that buying opportunity? Well, first, to put it this way, that on any decent reaction, and this is a decent reaction, that is the beginning of the time when one should think about buying China, if one wishes to do so, not buying it when it's hitting new highs and reaffirming the overall upward trend and moving well above the mean in terms of the 200-day moving average. So China is getting interesting once again. I don't think one needs to go rushing in at this stage. One of the reasons I feel that way is because, again, we've only entered the third week of this correction, and chances are, looking at other corrections that we saw in China on the last bull market run, is that at some stage we'll get a good bounce, and then it'll come back and look at the reaction low, and then steady up once again. So I'd like to see something like that before becoming proactive in terms of increasing a position there. China's again being a leader within the Asian region, I think it's likely to drag other Asian stock markets lower in the short term, if only as a delayed reaction. And most of those have rolled over, seen downward dynamics. We had a lot of downward dynamics here today, which have clearly capped rallies that weren't already capped. And the really important point that I've been mentioning on a daily basis when I've been doing these audios, and Owen has also mentioned on a number of occasions, is that it is not at all unreasonable that we see some nervousness on the part of the investing crowd. Crowds are emotional at the best of times, and this investing crowd, of course, is going to relive last year's meltdown as we pass through, not in a repeat of that, but it'll be very vivid in their memories, Everyone remembers exactly what happened to global stock markets commencing last August and carrying on into September and October and even early November last year. So it would be surprising behaviorally if this wasn't a jittery period. That doesn't mean that stock markets fall throughout that entire period, but it does suggest that they will be on the defensive more often than not, even though I maintain that this is an overall bull market environment. So I think this overall process is something from between a reaction and a correction. With the high beta stock markets, well, it depends how you define that. You know, do you define it in percentage terms? Generally, at Fuller Money, we define a correction as larger than a reaction. A reaction will usually be 10% or less, and perhaps carry over a few weeks, whereas a reaction will tend to be over 10% and will last for anything from 2 or 3 months to occasionally up to a couple of years. I certainly don't think we'll see a pullback of that length, but to again see nervous choppy markets and some further reactions or corrections and consolidations carrying on into October would not surprise me one iota. And I'm basing that mostly on the fact that stock markets may well have run ahead of themselves a little bit on the splendid gains that we have seen up until recently, and also, as I say, this business of reliving last year's meltdown in the markets. Moving on to long-dated government bonds. We've been saying for a few weeks now that prices had steadied up, that they were looking firm. It does seem as if some of the bolt-hole money that had come out of long-dated government bond markets and into equities is shifting back in the other direction as people take some money off the table in terms of equities. Currencies, well, again, we are seeing the dollar correct what was a short-term oversold condition. And I think the dollar's really taking its cue from what's happening on Wall Street. Wall Street is still the main driver of these other trends, as I said at the beginning of this broadcast, and as I've said on other broadcasts. And it's very much in the pole position here psychologically. So while global stock markets are soft, getting their reversions to the mean in terms of the now rising 200-day moving averages, we can expect the dollar to be steady, and we can also expect the yen to be steady. This is an environment where if I weren't about to go on a short holiday prior to medical leave for my routine operation, I would be saying that I should have more short positions, more hedge short positions in stock market futures. And I'm not going to do that. I've been fighting very hard to resist that temptation. I do have one short position in my SMI, which I badly ill-timed when I opened it and said so at the time, and then rather stubbornly held on to. But I'll stay with that, as it does look to me as if the SMI has peaked for at least the short term. If I were going to add any further shorts, it would almost certainly be, or my first candidate would probably be the Nikkei. And that's because Japan has one of the softer economies, but it's also, despite that little upturn in GDP figures for the latest quarter reported, but it primarily because of the yen. And I described the yen earlier as a high beta version of the dollar. And with the dollar firming here right now. The yen is firming even more. What else to mention here? Commodity markets and precious. Take the precious metals. Now, they haven't broken down, although there's a little bit of erosion of support. Last week's reaction lows have been taken out in some instances, but I think this action that we've seen in here today does tend to answer that question that those of us who are interested in precious metals have been asking, and that is mainly, or namely, if we get a nervous stock market environment over the short to medium term, will that prevent gold and other precious metals from surging higher? And of course, with gold, I'm referring to that lengthy consolidation period of approximately 18 months that we had seen within its overall upward trend prior to the last two big upside moves within that trend. And yes, there's a possibility that that may well happen. So for gold to romp on the upside, it's either got to uncouple from this current environment, and there's no evidence of that yet. And one of the signs that gold was not able to move independently of the other influences, such as Wall Street, was the fact that gold had been drifting lower against the firmer currencies. So gold would either have to uncouple, and we don't see any evidence of that yet, or I would have to be overestimating the risk of further stock market reactions or corrections over the next few months. In other words, if stock markets all turned around tomorrow or later this week or next week with big upward dynamics and started to reassert their overall upward trends, my strong hunch would be that we'd see the gold price push right back up towards $1,000 and higher. So we may well see, if we get the softer stock market environment, at least a ranging stock market environment, as I suspect, we may well see that next upward move in gold delayed. Now, what if it isn't going to happen at all? First, I think it will happen. I think we will get another upward leg in the gold price. But if I'm wrong on that, I do feel that it really does have to push up above 1,000 and hold that gain at some point during the duration of this year. That gives it plenty of time during its normal periods of seasonal strength. And I do expect that once stock markets pass through the anniversary of last year's meltdown, that stock markets will be very firm. So we would have the favorably seasonal environment from for gold, and we would also have a tailwind rather than a headwind in terms of the performance of stock markets as we've seen today. And I think that's pretty much it. I haven't mentioned crude oil very much, except that I just mentioned the other industrial commodities as well. Industrial metals have had a terrific run in the short term, so it's hardly surprising that we do see something of a pullback here. Copper, for instance, rallied up. I think it may have actually touched $3 or got very close to it last week. And if you look on the chart, you'll see there's a fair amount of lateral resistance up at that level, and it's a psychological target as well. So it's hardly surprising to see copper back off that level. And we've also seen a reaction in the other industrial metals here on Friday and again today. They've been choppy for the most part. My feeling is that if I'm right on stock markets moving higher by before year end, that we'll see the industrial commodities do that as well. In terms of the agricultural commodities, the big variable is going to remain the weather factors. That's always the big, or the crop outlook, really, but it's mainly the weather that determines the crop outlook. So I think that will remain the big influence. And although we had big spikes in sugar and orange juice and coffee, that hasn't created all that much inflationary pressure in food prices, because the more important foods, the grain and bean complex, prices there have tended to be quite soft, and that continued here today. Now, this is my last broadcast prior to my short holiday and temporary medical leave, and I will miss doing these broadcasts. I will listen to Owen's once I'm out of hospital with considerable interest, and I look forward to resuming my activities on behalf of Fuller Money as quickly as I am able to. And I'd like to thank you all for the wonderfully encouraging, heartening messages of goodwill and support, and the testimonials that you sent through in terms of people you'd known, relatives that you'd known who had responded from heart bypass operations so favorably. That's exactly what I hope to do, and I look forward to it. Bring on the recovery. I will be in the office tomorrow doing some copy, but I have to leave early, and therefore Owen will be doing tomorrow's audio and thereafter. So my thanks for your interest and your wishes, your good wishes, and let me say with particular enthusiasm this time, all the very best in terms of health, families, and your activities in these markets. See you before too long. Bye-bye.